Welcome to Jawa Jabber, a Star Wars podcast dedicated to spreading our own little slice of positivity throughout the galaxy. From the prequels to the sequels to every Disney Plus spinoff they want to throw at us, we're here to celebrate any time we get to spend in our favorite galaxy together, and we want you to come along for the ride. I'm David Wren, joined by my bro hosts Dennis, Kyle, and Matt. We invite you to sit back, relax, and enjoy our fully armed and operational podcast.
And this is Jawa Jabber.
Hello there, Star Wars fans, and welcome to another episode of Jawa Jabber. Tonight we're going to be talking about the Season 3 premiere of The Mandalorian. I am Dennis the Phantom Menace. Hello, boyos! Misa back! And I am joined by my bro hosts, Kynobi.
Hello there.
And Matt the Radar Technician.
Hi, I'm Matt. I'm a radar technician.
And of course, we have David Wren also here.
Hi, I'm David. I'm Supreme Leader Wren. I love the theater and Aladdin and Buffy. And I also make coffee, but I don't drink it. I also love Star Wars.
Touche. Oh my god, I love it. Yeah, nothing but fun here at the old Jawa Jabber podcast. But yeah, how's everybody doing tonight?
Good, Mando's back.
Mando is back, and that is exactly what we are going to be talking about today. Is everybody ready to talk?
Can I just pause for a second and can anybody enlighten me? Why do we call him Mando when it's not spelled Mando? It's spelled Manda. Is it like just because it sounds better?
Oh, I don't know.
I was confused. Every time I look at it, I'm like, it's spelled Mandalorian, but I guess we just take that O from Lorian and throw it in after the D.
I mean, we call Anakin Annie, don't we?
This is true.
Some people do. I don't.
I hadn't thought of that. Takes that I from the end of the word and puts that after the end. So.
Yeah, I never thought of that either.
Good point.
Whatever Greef Karga says, I'm going to go with it.
Well, thank you, Matt. I was going to say Greef Karga is the one that started calling, hey, Mando, or hey, something Mando. Like that. Yeah, so, all right. Yeah, good job, guys. All right, so for those of you that don't know what we're doing right now, other than taking each other's names, we are going to be talking about the Season 3 premiere of The Mandalorian, which just debuted yesterday, March 1st, 2023. And that is Chapter 17, The Apostate, even though it technically should be Chapter 20, because if you count Chapter 5, 6, and 7 of the Book of Boba Fett, just like Disney Plus does, if you go to the Star Wars section and it highlights The Mandalorian, it's actually all 16 episodes and then the last three of Book of Boba Fett, and then it puts the new episode. But, you know, that's all right. It is still Chapter 17. I guess they didn't want to be too confusing.
And I gotta admit, like, when I first saw the title, I thought it said prostate. So I was like, what? Oh, apostate. Never mind.
Good Lord.
The prostate. It's right. What?
It's right in the trailer, buddy.
A lot of bathroom trips for the Mandalorian in this episode.
Well, that's true, actually.
Trips to the, what do they call it? The vac station or something?
No, the refresher.
Yeah, that's right. The refresher. But he doesn't have that ship anymore, so he doesn't have a refresher.
Oh, that's true. I was going to say, Dennis, we've all been in a real life refresher at Galaxy's Edge.
And I did not take pictures.
Yes, you did. You took a picture of the sink.
There's no, you have no evidence. You have no evidence.
I do have evidence. It's in the Dropbox folder because I took the same picture.
Made sure no one was in there, though. I'm not taking pictures in the bathroom with people in there. So this refresher, sorry.
I may or may not have made sure that no one was in there. All right, so I want to start with getting everyone's kind of brief thoughts on the episode as a whole. Dennis, why don't we start with you tonight? Like, what did you think about the episode? Like, initial thoughts? How many times have you rewatched it? That kind of thing.
So I've seen it twice now. I think it was a solid episode. I don't know if I can like rate it on a 1 to 10 scale, but I think it was a good start to season 3. I don't think it was the strongest just because it wasn't like extremely new to us. Like, for example, season 1, episode 1 was like the hype was really high because everybody wanted to know what this is all about. So I think that the episode started off strong, but it I think there's definitely a lot more to come, and I'm excited to see the next episodes that kind of, this is kind of setting it up. And the only thing that kind of threw me off and maybe threw off a lot of people is that I had hoped that they, when they did the recap, you know, they did the recap of what happened in season 2. But if people didn't watch, like you kind of mentioned earlier, Book of Boba Fett, they kind of don't know. We just left off season 2 where Grogu went with Luke. So how is he back with him? And people who don't follow Star Wars like we do, or look at, you know, supplementary materials or watch the Book of Boba Fett, like if they came into this like your average ordinary person who likes Mandalorian, I feel like they'd be really confused. So I thought that was a little like they could have done a part of that in the recap. They didn't have to say, and on the Book of Boba Fett, they could have just included that part where he went and Grogu came back from Luke, and then people would be like, okay, now it makes sense. So I thought that was a little something where they could have made it a little more, I don't know, understandable for the regular and general audience. But overall, I like the episode. There are a lot of good things. I know we'll get into it. But just like you, David, it was too short. I mean, you could give me an hour long Mandalorian episode and I still would feel it's too short because I just want more. But I really did. I really did like it. So it was good.
Yeah, I agree with you. My main air quote complaint, and I hate saying complaints, would be that it was too short. And it's funny, unlike certain episodes that I always say are too short, like this one actually felt very short. Like, I remember I was watching it with Matt first thing in the morning, Wednesday morning, and I'm like, wait, what? Like, it's over? I gotta go to work now? Like, what is going on? Like, what? I don't know. Like, this one felt very short. I don't know why. Like, I remember specifically the season 2 premiere. Not that I was complaining, but like it felt a little long for me. The one with the Tatooine dragon monster and, you know, like the Marshall and everything, like that one felt a little long to me. I wasn't complaining that it was long. Mm-hmm.
I think it was a lot stronger of a season opening in season 2 for sure.
I would agree. Yes, absolutely. And again, there was nothing wrong with this episode. It was a solid episode, but yeah, it I don't know. It didn't feel, I think you're right, Dennis. It didn't feel as momentous, maybe. I don't know. I'm not sure what the word would be. Kyle, what do you think?
If I had to rate it out of 10, I would probably give it an 8. Definitely not as strong as the season 2 premiere. But again, that's kind of hard because this is setting up, I think, 3 very different plot lines that are obviously going to come together. So this episode was more set up than anything, where if you compare the season 1 premiere is just a whole different story. It's the premiere of the entire series. But season 2, it didn't really set up anything aside from the Boba Fett storyline. You know what I mean? What we're doing here in this season premiere is a lot different in the fact that we're not going to have a lot of these whole Monster of the Week Saturday serial episodes this season, I would guess. It seems like we're going for much more of a linear storyline, and that's something that we all said we hoped for. Our last podcast, which I'm excited to see. Definitely a little clunky, but overall I would probably still give it an 8 out of 10. I thought it was a solid episode.
McClunky.
Exactly.
There you go. All right, Matt, how about you?
I agree with pretty much everything you guys have said. I remember when we were watching it and it kind of abruptly ended. I was just kind of like, huh? Like, you know, like, it didn't really end with a flourish at all. It just, you know, kind of ended with a slow scene there. And I mean, it was a fine ending. I think it was a proper time, I guess, to cut it off, but it did feel kind of short. But I don't think, you know, comparing it to the past premieres, like, you know, you obviously can't compare it to season 1, episode 1, just because of the major Grogu reveal. You know, like, there's pretty much no way they're going to top that with the season opener. So, you know, I think it's smart the way they kind of have played the last 2. I think there are some good like Hal said, some, you know, they're definitely developing some story plots here that they're gonna, you know, that are all kind of connected, but a little bit different. And I, you know, I think they'll be able to go back to, like, you know, the one obvious one that no one's touched on yet is the IG-11, you know, a little subplot that eventually I imagine Grogu's going to come back to him and we might see IG-11 again. And then also, you know, the brief.
Yeah, that took me by surprise. That definitely took me by surprise.
Yeah, I was not expecting that one. But, you know, I mean, it,
can we talk about that for a sec?
Yeah, go ahead. What do you want?
If you want to finish up your thoughts, I just want to talk about IG for a sec. But yeah, go ahead first.
Well, the only other thing I was going to say really is, you know, the brief reference to Moff Gideon. I think we all pretty much expect to see him back. So there's going to be, and we've seen, you know, in the trailers, them are, you know, scenes on Coruscant. So I think at some point that, you know, the Empire, Dr. Pershing, Moff Gideon are going to get woven back into the story, and how that even, you know, relates to what they're push, you know, kind of moving forward towards with the Mandalorians and Mandalore and Bo-Katan, you know, I don't know yet, but it was nice how it's, I think, kind of either referenced little things or kind of, you know, set things up for the future.
So I just wanted to mention, because you brought up IG-11, and I feel like I don't know if I'd classify it as an actual true plot hole, but I kind of felt a little weird in that, you know, when he comes back to Nevarro and he sees that statue with Grogu, and there's a part of him that's obviously still there because they were able to salvage it. The recap, right, from season 2 shows how IG detonated so badly he wipes out, you know, 25 troopers with a thermal detonator in his chest, yet that's the only part that survives in his head. Like, I feel like if anything would survive, it'd be the legs, not the actual harness or the full part of the droid that exploded with a bomb. It kind of felt a little weird. And then I know there's that whole scene later that we can get into if you'd like, but like, it just felt to me that part of the whole IG-11 coming back wasn't necessarily needed, unless they have obviously more set up for that, because like Mandalorian was so against any kind of droids in the last couple seasons, and then he actually had trust with IG-11 more than any other being, I guess, out there, I guess separate from Grogu. And now obviously, you know, in this episode it seemed like it reverted back to its programming, yet he still wants to fix it. And I'm just like, seems kind of weird. Like, he's backtracking. He's going back to, he's not even a bounty hunter necessarily anymore. He doesn't have the Razor Crest. Like, there's a lot of things I feel like maybe they're setting it up on purpose to show his character growth and development, as well as Bo-Katan's, that going back to the past is not going to help them move forward in their character development, if that makes sense.
That's a really good point. I completely agree with that. I think this is a huge point of development for Din Djarin. Just to show that he's not only okay with droids, but more specifically the one that tried to kill his child. And I think there's some things with Star Wars, as much as we love it, you kind of just have to look past. And you can only do...
I'm being serious. I don't know what you're talking about, Kyle.
No, it only works if it's cool. That's just the way it is.
Yeah.
And there's tons of little things, like, again, when we first see IG-11 again and he's good, he's been reprogrammed by Quill. Quill says everything's been erased, all of his programming, everything like that. Go back and watch the episode. He says that I completely redone his hardwiring, whatever.
Right. Yeah, so you're right.
The fact that he said that, and IG-11 was definitely imploded. I mean, there was nothing left of him. It's cool, and there's just things you have to look past with Star Wars.
I agree with you, Kyle.
It's just a sci-fi kind of thing. So there's, I mean, we got laser swords and we got dark sabers. So, I mean, you definitely could look past this. I just thought when I saw it, I'm like, I would prefer if they actually maybe, I don't know, had like, maybe they redid it in some, but it wouldn't work with the story. So I get it.
I wonder if the reason he doesn't have legs is because he was walking through the lava. So if the lava, you know, I mean, obviously if a detonator can't implode,
that's true,
his, you know, middle section, like, can lava really melt his legs? But I kind of wondered if that's why they you know, basically.
That's a good point.
He doesn't have, have his legs anymore. But I don't know if you guys watched the interviews with John Favreau and Dave Filoni that aired earlier this week. But they touched on a lot of the season of how a lot of it's going to be about Mando's character growth and everything with Grogu. And I think definitely the IG-11 inclusion is a part of trying to show how he's how he's evolving. So as soon as I saw him, my head went back to that interview. I'm like, okay, that's where this is going, I guess.
I guess I would have just been more, I don't want to even say okay with it or whatever, if they had done some kind of reference to it in season two. Like, you know, he imploded, his legs melted off and all that stuff. And then he was just like, he was gone. He was done. And there was like no mention of him again until now, which is apparently, you know, like 2 years later, more than 2 years later. I don't know. I thought it was a little out of left field. Again, I'm not complaining. I like that character. I think it's a really cool idea. And I mean, we've been faked out by death more times in Star Wars, I wouldn't say than any other franchise, but like, you know, quite a bit. Chewie in The Rise of Skywalker, you know.
Yeah,
some other Darth cheap Maul, shots right. through the years. Darth Maul in episode one, you know. Yeah. Like, it happens.
No one's really ever done this Star
simply
Wars.
Off topic. No one's ever really gone.
Well, there you go. Good job.
That's a sound bite we need. Yes. I want to really quickly, and we can go back to Mando. I remember vividly, I was in the car with my dad, and we were looking through a newspaper, and there was something in there about Darth Maul returning. And this, I was too young to kind of keep up with the Clone Wars because no one else in my family watched it, so I didn't really know when it was coming back, that kind of thing. And there was literally an article in the paper with an interview from Dave Filoni about Darth Maul returning. I thought it was a pretty funny memory.
That was how I started watching the Clone Wars. I remember that the Star Wars Insider magazine had an interview with Dave Filoni or somebody, and they were saying how they were bringing Darth Maul back, and I'm like, wait, what? Mm-hmm. I'm gonna have to watch that. You know what I mean? Like that was part of my initial kick into getting into the Clone Wars before like Netflix had it and everything, like, cause I wasn't watching it. It's no secret to you guys. Like I was not watching it when it first aired and all that stuff.
Hey, let me, just a matter of, I've just thought of something. No, go ahead, Matt.
I was just going to say, it's just a matter of time before we get David's favorite character, Mace Windu, back.
I swear on everything that is holy and all of my lightsabers and all of my high-end collectibles, if he shows up on my screen again...
What you have told me is true. You have gained my respect.
Oh my god. You guys are going to have to find a new Supreme Leader, if that's the case.
Well, let me get back to IG and back to Mando. I just thought of something that... You know how Mando wasn't taking his helmet off? And then he said, no living being has seen me without my helmet. And then IG, when he was fixing it with the back to spray, said, I'm not a living being. So he let him take his helmet off. I wonder if Mando is needing or wanting to have IG specifically so that when he goes to Mandalore and, you know, goes into the mines to try to redeem himself and bathing in the living waters, he's probably going to have to take his helmet off. So like maybe he just needs him as a part of that, and maybe to help him get in there somehow. Maybe it's like blocked over because of all the bombing and the purge. Like maybe, you know, that's kind of where he feels like he might need his help again. And it's not a living being technically, so he would still fall under that same code. But maybe I'm completely off, because maybe throughout the course of his character development, he's kind of going to get away from that. And I feel like, and I'm not going to get too far into it, I'm going to stop here in a moment, but like Bo-Katan, you know, her whole thing was about, you know, the Darksaber, and without the Darksaber, she can't rule, she can't have any power, and she can't, you know, she doesn't have anybody following her. you know, everybody seems to think, like, what is it that makes you Mandalorian? It's like, no, it's not the helmet. It's not that. Oh, maybe it's this, you know, shiny lightsaber sword. Maybe that's what it is. Like, and maybe there's this whole plot kind of going towards what does it mean to be a Mandalorian? It's obviously the creed, but it's not just what you have. Maybe it's who you are, what you do, how you present yourself to the world.
Yeah, no, that's definitely an insight that I didn't think about. Like, I was leaning more toward the character development and how he hated droids, but then he ended up trusting IG-11, like you were saying before. And no, that's an interesting, yeah, I mean, or maybe he needs to bring IG-11 to the armorer to be like, hey, you know, yes, he took off his helmet, but it was for this reason, or I don't know, whatever. I'm not sure where my thoughts are going with that. But yeah, no, it's definitely interesting, and it was a development that I did not see coming. What about some personal highlights? Matt, why don't we start with you? What are like, give me like maybe one or two of your personal highlights of the season premiere.
I would have to say probably a big one is the dogfight. You know, we haven't really seen a whole lot of space fights in Mando. I think that, you know, there's one thing that I'd like to see a little bit more of, it'd be that, you know, like if we could get like a full scale outer space battle once, that would be sweet. So, you know, I thought it was really well done. You know, it was pretty fast paced. He took on 6 fighters and destroyed them all. So that was pretty cool. And honestly, just seeing Mando and Grogu, like their interactions in the ship, that have been really, really cool and cute. There's another one highlight while they were in the ship that I'll leave because I'm pretty sure somebody else is probably going to bring it up. So I'll just stay with the dogfight.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I think I know what you're referring to. And if I have to guess, I think it'll be Kyle that brings that up.
You guys know me too well.
Yeah, go ahead. Even if you weren't going to bring it up, go ahead, Kyle.
That one was so obvious to me. Like you said, Matt, I didn't really want to bring it up. But seeing the Purrgil was so cool. And the fact that Mando was oblivious, or maybe he just couldn't see it. That was one thing I didn't think about until after I was done watching it, that Grogu notices that Grogu is like enamored with them. But Mando doesn't notice him at all. He's either sleeping or what, but maybe he can't see them. Maybe it's just they disappear to force people. Who knows?
Well, I was going to say, yeah, is it established that they only apply to force people? Or
I don't know. Yeah, I don't think so, but maybe it just went in hyperspace. It's just because Grogu's force sensitive that he notices it. But that was definitely one of the first highlights. I'm in the same vein as Matt. The dog fight was awesome. Definitely miss seeing things like that. I mean, we haven't seen a fight like that since Rogue One, I think.
Right. Yeah, no, it was very, and even like in the earlier seasons of Mando, like, you know, there's been some stuff with the Razor Crest and whatever, but like, it was never like an all out dog fight, you know, like it was just, you know, the other, like, people got a couple shots off or whatever. Like, it wasn't like this one was, which was
like one ship exactly. Like chasing them down before, and that was it.
Exactly. And like, how good did those graphics look, guys?
The budget's been in the dog increased fight. Heavily.
You Has tell. It? Okay, that makes that. Sense. Yeah, I mean,
this is one of the few shows in Hollywood where the budget isn't something that's discussed openly, like it is with like House of Dragon or anything like that. But you could definitely tell. And I think my last highlight would be seeing Bo-Katan at the end. I really wish they didn't go with the whole explain don't tell thing with her people leaving her, abandoning her, and just becoming marauders, but you can already tell her performance is gonna be one of the highlights of this season.
So what would you have rather had, like a flashback or something, like to show it? Or
I think definitely, I mean, or just save it till the next episode.
Oh, okay.
Maybe they will show it next episode, who knows, but something visually to see how that fallout happened, because the last time we saw them, even they weren't in Book of Boba Fett. So last time we saw them, they're all on the bridge and you didn't know what was going to happen. And I get they have to do some kind of time jumps to address the whole Cara Dune situation and other things and where Moff Gideon's at. But I definitely would have liked to see what happened there.
Yeah. Dennis, how about you?
I have a few things here. I actually wrote down a little bit of like quick notes to talk about some things, but I'll try to run through them pretty quickly. One of them is definitely what Kyle said about the Purrgil. That's something when I saw those silhouettes, you know, I did the whole point at the TV meme, the DiCaprio meme, like, I know what that is. I know what that is. Whereas other people were more like, I don't know, what was that? You know, you could see those stuff online where people who hadn't watched Rebels don't really know what they are and how they're, you know, basically how we discovered, or how we, like, we're in the Star Wars universe, how they discovered to work hyperspace was by studying the Purrgil, because they can travel through hyperspace. So I thought that was kind of neat to show that in live action, at least the silhouettes. You know, we haven't seen them, but we see the silhouettes. I thought that was really cool. Bo-Katan, of course, at the end, I agree with Kyle. What I really kind of felt there, because I am a big Game of Thrones and House of the Dragon fan, was that whole castle on Kalevala was the name of the planet. That castle reminded me a lot of, you know, like the main hall in Game of Thrones, or Dragonstone.
Mm. Dragonstone, yep.
Mm-hmm. And okay. House of the Dragon. I thought that was really cool the way they did that. And I also learned, I guess, kind of listened to somebody else before, was that that is like the home planet, or like the base for the Kryze clan. So Bo-Katan Kryze is on that planet. Whereas in Rebels, we had Crow's Nest, I think was the name of Sabine Wren's house clan. So that was a completely different place. So it's more than just okay. Mandalore. There are other, obviously, planets in the system. Right. So I thought
that they was mentioned cool. that it was in the Mandalore system. I remember
right,
that.
Right. I thought that was really neat.
I thought it was too. It reminded me of Empire Strikes Back, where the Noad system, there's not much there. Ah, oh, Bespin, blah, 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 blah. You know, like right. It just kind of reminded me of that.
Yeah. Nice callback. I hadn't thought of that. That's actually a good connection.
It was literally the first thing I thought of when they said Mandalore system. I was like, ooh, a Noad system. There's not much there.
Very nice.
I don't know. That was just my, it also made me think of Duchess Satine.
Uh-huh. Yep.
Who we all met at Star Wars Celebration.
And that was name dropped by Bo-Katan as Sundari, right? That's underneath the Civic Center, was the mines where Mando's trying to go to.
Right.
That was pretty neat. And another thing, I have a few more, but I'm just going to end it on Nevarro. And I sent that picture to you guys in the chat about how it's changed from season one to season two to season three.
Yeah,
and now,
isn't that cool?
Honestly, the way that it looked and the way that the marketplace was and everything, and even like the protocol droid, I mean, we don't have that at Galaxy's Edge, but I swear it gave off Batuu vibes. It was, you know, when he was walking in there, the way that everything was set up, the buildings, the structure, the architecture, it really gave me that feel of like, okay, this is an outer rim outpost, right? So their Batuu would look
which is where
similar.
Batuu is. Yes, it's on the outer rim. Yeah,
that's and I really liked that. I felt like gave me those warm and fuzzy feelings of being back there. So I really enjoyed that.
Yeah, you know, and I didn't think about that, but it is true. Like the architecture was similar. And
the Kowakian monkey lizards, instead of them being roasted on a spit now, they're just hanging out in the trees. They're just
now they're just hanging out in the trees, chilling. And yeah. I'm very surprised. I don't know if you guys did this on purpose to allow me to mention it. But of course, a highlight for David would be Babu Frick.
The Anzellans. Of course, we left
Bad Baby. Bad Baby.
Bad Baby. Oh, my God. I was dying. Matt, I don't know if you realized this, but I know obviously we weren't watching it next to each other or anything, but like we were texting back and forth or whatever. Like I literally almost had to pause it because I was losing my, I was like, Bad Baby, that's amazing.
Bad Baby. No squeezy.
Right.
Do we know if Shirley Henderson voiced the Anzellans in this episode too?
I don't know.
We're gonna have to look that up and sure maybe we should have before this episode. It definitely sounded like it, yeah. And
she's
like
awesome.
That is Babu Frick, right? Like it's not Babu Frick. Like have we
That's what I was trying to figure out.
I don't know.
Is one of them Babu or not? Because they don't really
in David's headcanon it's Babu Frick, so it doesn't matter, you know.
They might just be the same race, right? So you got Grogu, who's the same as right. Yoda, but he's not Yoda.
Right.
In this case, it might not be Babu Frick, because maybe Babu Frick's on Kijimi. I don't know.
Well, and it's funny, because I was thinking about the timeline, even though we don't really know precisely what year this is, but like Zori Bliss and Poe Dameron would probably still be kids at this point. So like I like kids, like
for sure,
like even younger than that Mandalorian person in the beginning that we were supposed to think was Din Djarin.
And yeah, that was a nice little fake out. That was cool.
Like come on. We all thought that was Din Djarin, right? We all thought it was a flashback.
I thought it was a flashback.
Yeah, I thought so for a brief second, and then we saw Paz Vizsla, and I was like, there's no way. There's no way they're that much older than Din Djarin. I think we should give more respect to child actors, but it just seemed a little out of place. You guys know he's Jimmy Kimmel's nephew, right?
No, what? I didn't know that.
No?
I didn't know that.
Yeah,
I didn't know that.
He's Jimmy Kimmel's nephew.
Oh my God,
I'm not Jimmy. Saying it's a Nepo situation, but it's definitely a Nepo situation. And the hair just came out of the helmet.
Yeah, what was that about? No, you had cut scenes, right? When she put the helmet on, the hair is sticking out. But then when they're like fighting this, you know, I think they called it a dinosaur turtle in the actual captions. I was like,
really?
That's kind of weird. I think it looked more crocodile-like, but that's just
I was going to say, I thought we were in Florida with the crocodile, but
because it did the whole death roll where it rolled over in the water and pulled them out, you know, the lines that they connected to him. So it felt a lot more crocodile or crocodilian-like. But yeah, Kyle's right. When that hair was sticking out in the next scene, when that happens and he looks like maybe he's going to try and help her do something, there's no hair. Like, it's obviously a completely different cut.
Yeah.
Right. And I mean, obviously, just from a filming perspective, like Kyle, you know about this kind of stuff too. Like, you don't film your close-ups and everything when you're doing action stuff too. You know what I mean? Like, you're going to do all your stunts and your action stuff, if not on a different day, definitely, you know, at a different time than you do all your close-ups and your dialogue and all that stuff. I mean, that's just continuity error. Like, you know, I mean, it happens.
Did you guys notice really quick before we move on? The sound design when they put the helmet on the kid.
Yeah,
it was the same sound. I don't like that though. It was the same sound they used for Vader.
Yeah,
when his helmet goes on in Empire.
Right, like it's funny. I've
heard it with other.
I noticed
other
it.
Helmets too.
Yeah, and now that you mentioned that, Matt, I think I've heard it with.
They
other
do it
helmets,
with Boba
though,
Fett and, too. I think.
Do they? All right.
I feel like they at least mixed it differently though. I mean, I could be completely out of line. But I feel like the reason they've just been reusing a lot of sound design.
But you know what was weird? What was weird to me is when they did that, and thanks for bringing it up, Kyle, because when they did that and it did that whole, like, it sounded like it, you know, made it airtight or something, right? So that you could breathe. But then when the kids spoke, it wasn't like through a modulator voice, like when you hear Boba Fett talk or you hear Mando talk,
right,
or Darth Vader. Yep. It was just a normal, like a kid in a helmet, like if we put a helmet on.
Yeah. I noticed that too. I can look past that one because the voice just might not sound right in a helmet.
Right. You
know what I mean? With the modulator, the kid's voice might just not sound right. So they end up just going with what they had.
Right. Yeah, that's very possible. Matt, did you have something to add?
Oh, to that? Do you remember me telling you too about how I thought the paint scheme on his helmet like mirrored Paz Vizsla's, like really close?
Yes.
It made me wonder if it was his foundling or something.
I was going to say, you did mention that when we were watching it last night. I don't know. I hadn't thought of that. How else do they... How do they repopulate the clan?
And I know that,
I get what you're saying, though.
They kept, like, featuring Paz Vizsla in that fight, which I get, because he's the only one of those Mandalorians.
Yeah, they kept,
really
like, ganning to him.
But every time, like, the kid was kind of in trouble, like, Paz Vizsla would, like, jump in and they'd pan to him, you know, and he'd get in the way. So it was almost like he was kind of, I mean, they were all protecting him, but they made like more of a show of him protecting him. But it also could be because him and the armor are the only two of the group that you even know.
And can I just say how upset I am? Like, you know, we're doing really well with doing these episodes in air quote real time. We did our preview episode and then the next day came those interviews and those articles where like, oh, hey, it's been, you know, Grogu spent 2 years with Luke Skywalker and blah, 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 blah. Because that would have been a really interesting thing to talk about on our episode. And I mean,
we
I don't want to spend
talk
too
about
much time
it
on it, but like, I know, but I don't want to spend too much time on it. I was just personally with that information, I was blown away. Like, it's not that I thought that he trained with Luke for like, you know, a week or two, or like, you know, everyone jokes, oh, Luke Skywalker only spent a day with Yoda on blah, 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 blah. It's like, no, that's not what happened. Like, obviously there is passage of time, but I was floored. I was like, 2 years. Holy crap. I don't know. What were your guys' reaction to that?
Well, you remember I had this conversation with you, I think after we learned that. And I mean, my thought on it was,
you did, but not with our listeners.
Right. It's been common that they've done that with every Star Wars gap there is, like A New Hope to Empire Strikes Back. They don't say, but it was like a 2 year gap. You know, it's kind of right. Implied. They don't say what was going on. But you could have assumed that they just jumped or went straight from Yavin, fled Yavin right to Hoth, but you know, they didn't. And then same with Empire Strikes Back to Return of the Jedi. Everybody assumes they immediately, you know, left at the end of Empire Strikes Back and went straight to Tatooine to get Han. But in reality, there was like 2 years of a war and battles and a whole stuff that's being played out in the comics right now of adventures that, you know, there's this huge difference. And I think this episode, what Dennis touched on earlier with Navarro, perfectly exemplifies, you know, Navarro didn't change like that in a week or 2 weeks or a few months, you know, like that's 2 or 3 years of change to Navarro. And, you know, that's one obvious way they show it. But if you're not thinking about it, you might not even realize.
Well, and to me, another one that showed it was just how many Mandalorians the Armorer has, because in Book of Boba Fett, when she's doing the Darksaber with Mando, it's like, you know, Paz Vizsla says, you know, there's only three of us left. And well, you know, there was a lot more than three people in that cave.
I think that's another advantageous point to what John Favreau said about real time passing in between these seasons. My only gripe, I guess, to where I think that doesn't really line up would be the fact that Luke is training Grogu with some pretty basic things.
Right.
And if that's all they've gotten to in 2 years or even a year, because he said 0 to 2 years, I think he clarified. He's also getting not stumped, but almost ambushed in a way by these reporters because
they
keep forcing him to clarify what he's saying, and we all fumble over our words.
Oh, so absolutely.
Even if it's just a year, what was he teaching Grogu for a year to just get to the point where he's jumping?
One thing I think that I maybe they put this much thought into it, you know, you never know, but you know, they make the way they, you know, Dave and John talk, you know, it sounds like they put a ton of thought into the decisions they make. And like with Grogu, you know, training with Luke for possibly a year, I think it's important to remember that Grogu is also essentially still almost a baby or a toddler. So, you know, how much is a toddler, like if he's like, you know, 3-4 years old in human years, like how much is he going to learn how to use the Force in a year's time? You know, kids at, you know, 2, 3, 4 years of age, you know, they do change a bit, but are they going to, you know, vastly grow up and learn a ton of Force abilities in just 1 year? So, I mean,
Remember, Anakin at 9 years old was too old to become a Jedi. Like, what? That always floored me. Like, you know, Luke is a teenager and whatever. Like, sure, he's too old. But, like, Anakin was 9 years old. Like, have they not met 9 year olds? Like, you can totally mold them and, like, whatever. Like, and I know they take them at, like, birth, because didn't Obi-Wan make a reference to, like, how young he was when he was taken? And, I mean, those kids that were with Reva in the flashback to Order 66, like, a lot of them were young, too. Like, Grogu's older than them, I would say.
I think a lot of it probably is the seriousness they take the whole Jedi Order and training and just everything in general with it. They don't probably feel that, but, you know, starting with a kid later, like at 9, 10 years old, that they're going to be able to instill what they need to within him, that it needs to begin when they're younger. So that way they're molding him. Cause you do mold a child a lot between really the ages of 2 to 8 years old, you know, like there is a lot of imprinting you do on them. So maybe they just feel like they're not going to be able to mold them into the Jedi they expect, or, you know, that the Jedi Order needs, if they're not able to, you know, train them through that age. But
which is why I'm trying to get Jackson to really like Star Wars. Like, he kind of likes Star Wars, but, like, you know.
I think not
as much as I want him to like Star Wars.
I think the show may continue to elaborate on that, clarify that maybe, because of Grogu, obviously, especially in the teaser trailers or in the TV spots, showing that he does have more force ability and force power. So I think they're going to build on that from what we saw. And then, of course, releasing that information of it being somewhere between 0 to 2 years of him being with Luke. I think, like Kyle said, and bringing it back around, he wasn't just learning how to, you know, lift a frog out of a pond or jump around on some rocks. I think there may be more things that we just don't know about and we'll get to see as the show progresses.
Don't forget taking the candy out of the candy jar.
Now, I don't know what kind of candy that was, but it looked like Skittles or something.
They were space Skittles. Yes, they were space Skittles. Skittles. I'm trademarking
orange.
That.
What is wrong with Grief Karga? Orange only. What in the world?
I mean, you know.
Lime is where it is. I'm sorry. When they change it back from apple to lime, that's my favorite.
Oh, stop it. You're kidding. How are you my best friend?
Or what is your favorite?
I don't understand this. The red.
Okay, red's good too. That's number two for me.
Yeah, it's way better than lime.
I do need to bring us back to this because it is representation for our entire podcast. When Mando brings that shard of glass with that inscription to the armorer, he says that some Jawas found it. So shout out to Jawas because What?
I thought he said someone found it. He said Jawas found it?
He got it from Jawas.
Yeah, he said he got it from Jawas.
Oh my God, Jawas. I watched it 3 times and I missed it each time.
So let me just say, Jawas have representation in the first episode of season 3.
Yes,
I don't see any representation for Chatter Squadron or Pink Milk or any of these other podcasts. We got it.
We got it, yes, because we are like the unofficial official podcast of the Star Wars universe, exactly.
We get mentioned in this season, and we get the match with Pelimoto on Tinder. Man, I'm all about this Jawa jabber.
Yeah. Right? Exactly.
We just love jabbering.
We just love jabbering. And speaking of jabbering, how about we jabber about some speculation for the next episode before we wrap things up? Kyle, why don't we start with you?
Last time on the podcast, we talked about prediction for the overall season. One thing I'm still hell-bent on is seeing a Mythosaur at some point. I don't know when we're going to see it. If we do, I'm guessing it'll be the finale.
I was going to say, but that seems more like a finale kind of thing. Unless they take a different direction and, like, what if this whole Mandalore storyline, like, wraps up in the middle of the season and we have, like, a whole, like, 3 or 4 episodes that we have no idea where they're going. Like, I think that'd be kind of cool.
That's what I'm wondering too, because in typical Lucasfilm fashion, we usually never see anything beyond the first 4 episodes. I think for Boba, right, it was even just the first 3 episodes.
Yeah.
All the footage they had in the trailers and the marketing and the promo was just the first 2 episodes and like the very beginning of the third. So mm-hmm. I could definitely see the Mandalore storyline wrapping up earlier than the finale, but it was just a wild prediction with the Mythosaur thing on our last podcast. But
yeah, but once you said it, it's in my head now and I want to see it.
Well, the fact that we got a huge monster like this in the first episode, and yeah, I know we had the Krayt Dragon last season, but that's a different story. That episode was like a movie. It was literally almost an hour long. The fact that we got a monster like that in a 32-minute premiere episode, it just sealed it for me. Like, I can almost guarantee we're going to see a Mythosaur at that point. So I don't know who's going to defeat it, how that's going to happen. It seems like Bo doesn't really care about the Darksaber, but if she did something to wrangle or kill the Mythosaur, I think she would have the claim to the throne and people would have to follow her. But one thing I guess as far as speculation goes, I really, really want to see where the whole Moff Gideon thing goes. And possibly even a flashback with him and Bo to see how he got it. I think he has ties to Mandalore that we don't know about yet.
You have I want.
Exactly.
Right. And yeah, I was going to say, I mean, he had it at the end of season 1. So yeah, I mean, maybe he does have ties to Mandalore. I never thought of that before. That's a really good speculation.
Honestly, just going off of what Kyle said, when I first saw whatever it was, before I knew what it was, when that thing jumped out of the water, I was like, there is no way they're throwing the Mythosaur in the first episode. But once I saw it, I'm like, no, that ain't no Mythosaur. I mean, at the same time, I was also thinking, like, you know, the first episode of the first season of the Mando, we also had that monster. And I'm like, is that a Mythosaur? Because it's in the water? I'm like, no, it's not. But I thought it was maybe like a callback to the, you know, the holiday special and where we first saw Boba Fett. I mean, if we see an actual Mythosaur, I just hope he doesn't look like that cartoon version where he's just chowing down on machine parts.
I think the Krayt Dragon was their setup for this. Like, they're showing you what they can do with the visual effects. It was all just prepping their team behind the scenes for the Mythosaur because they know they have to get it right.
Do you think Boba Fett is going to show up in that episode and ride the Mythosaur, or is it going to be Mando?
I think it's Bo. I really think it's Bo. I can see Mando reuniting the clans, but I don't think it would hinder his character development if he stayed on Mandalore at the end of this season. Like that's if this story, I don't want to jabber on too long, but I think if he stays on Mandalore with this arc, he reunites the clans and he becomes their ruler, his character development's done. And the fact that John and Dave said we're only halfway through, they think we're only halfway through this storyline, there's no way.
Well, we don't know much about Mythosaurs. Are they exclusive to Mandalore, or do we know?
I have no idea. Do you guys know?
No, I'm going to have to look that up. I'm not sure.
I don't either, but I do remember Leal talking about, you know, when he was trying to teach Mando how to ride the Blurg. He mentioned Mythosaurs and how, you know, how can you not, you know, how can you not tame this simple animal when Mandalorians used to ride on the backs of Mythosaurs, you know? So
that's true. Kyle, yes, he did.
Yeah. Like Kyle. So I, you know, I don't know if it's going to be Bo or Mando or who, but I could definitely see a Mythosaur appearance and possibly someone taming one. I mean, maybe it could be Mando and Grogu together because Grogu, you know, put the Rancor to sleep. So he has had a lot of touch with animals that they've shown. So you kind of wonder if, you know, that's not like one of Grogu's kind of special force abilities, is his way to connect with other beings. But, you know, if Mando were to, you know, ride, like tame and ride a Mythosaur, does that mean he would be stuck on Mandalore as a ruler? You know, I don't know. Cause I agree with Kyle. If they were, you know, if he were to be the one that reunited and became the leader and got stuck on Mandalore, it would definitely, like, where would the show really go from there if there's going to be 3 to 4 more seasons? So I think, like, there's definitely more of a storyline away from Mandalore with Moff Gideon and Dr. Pershing. Since Dr. Pershing's involved, I got to think it's something still to do with the cloning and the Empire, maybe like the Unknown Regions, but I do remember Moff Gideon saying in season 2, I believe, that he was on Mandalore for the Night of 1,000 Tears. So he definitely has a connection to, Mandalore.
Okay. I don't remember that.
He told him, he's like, maybe he told it to Bo in Koska Reeves. Okay. I can't remember, but I remember him saying, you know, I was there for the Night of 1,000 Tears. But the only thing I'm, you know, kind of wondering whether it's going to happen this episode or I'm hoping the season is, when are we going to hear Grogu's first word?
Right.
When is he going to talk?
We already told you what it's going to be. It's McClunky. It's McClunky.
Exactly. If his first word is not that, then everybody riots.
I wanted to say something really quick from what Matt said. I really like how, I hadn't thought of this because he was right. Grogu kind of calmed down the Rancor, right? I think in the episode or the teaser trailers that we've seen, he does something with some other creature we haven't seen yet, maybe in the next episode. But I like their connection with the, you know, like the Force for with regards to animals or with creatures or the natural part of the Force. I even hearken that back all the way to, I don't know if you guys read the book, Master and Apprentice, but with Qui-Gon and Qui-Gon touching into how the Force works through every living thing. And I like the also connection to Ezra from Rebels, who was, you know, able to communicate or at least on some level through the Force with the Purrgil, but also with the oh my gosh, I almost said dire wolves, the loath wolves, the loath wolves, and the loath cats. So I think that that's really cool to see Grogu kind of having that same connection to the Force. And of course, you could also go back to Yoda as well, you know, living on Dagobah and all the other creatures that were there. So like, I really like that connection. And I think that as we see that that progress even further, we might see him maybe interact with a mythosaur even.
All I'm going to say about the mythosaur is you guys have it all wrong. It's not going to be Bo. It's not going to be Boba Fett. It's not going to be Mando. It's going to be full Attack of the Clone style, and it's going to be all three of them. Maybe Bo's going to wrangle it first, and then she's going to grab Boba Fett and Mando up there, and they're all going to ride it together.
No, it's going to be an Azelan. It's going to go, hey, hey, on top of the middle.
Yeah, there we go. Oh, my God. Yes, with Babu frickin' toe. That would be awesome. That, yeah. All right, yes, I love it. That is my new headcanon. Mythosaurs.
I have one more thing.
And Anzalans.
I would like to.
And
yeah.
Don't forget
exactly.
The space whales.
You want to probably see a Disney Plus series of that, but.
Duh. You know me. Anything Disney Plus wants to throw at us. All right, Dennis, one more thought. What's up?
I got one more thought, and then if anybody else wants to chime in, I'll shut up. But are we really not going to talk about freaking Swamp Thing, Davy Jones, Pirate Lord? Like, what? That was interesting. I did not expect that. I'm like, there's a lot of green on this guy. Like, where's he been living? What kind of swamp he been sitting around?
Yeah, I wasn't going to bring him up. I wasn't particularly
I don't think we're done with them.
Impressed.
I think we're going to see those pirates again. Plus,
I was
going to
say,
Vane
we'll
guy,
probably see them again.
That guy named Vane with the horns, you know, and everything. He gave me Voldemort vibes with, like, the no-nose thing all the way.
He was vindictive?
Oh, I didn't even think of that.
Yeah.
He was pretty cool, but, yeah, the look of the Pirate King, yeah, I could have gone without it, but, you know, there's always one thing you're not going to be super, super geeked about, and that's all right, because the rest of it was pretty awesome.
Right,
it was
exactly,
weird.
And that,
it
was
weird.
That was our thing.
But I almost feel like it was a George kind of thing, because it was like, he gets all angry because Mando gets away, and he's like, and then it just cuts scene to the next thing. So kind of like a Saturday morning serial, or like the bad guy got upset, but they got away kind of thing, you know?
I thought the personality kind of evoked a little bit of Trench from the Clone Wars.
Ah, yeah.
I like the design. I mean, it's definitely out of place for Star Wars, but definitely a George kind of
thing.
But
maybe that's what we needed. We needed just something fresh and new, and necessarily probably doesn't smell very fresh, but it looks fresh.
I think they're just showing off with the prosthetics here. I mean, the makeup team's always done a great job, but the budget shows through things like that, because they use the same kind of technique, I think, with Vane, the main Nick too, that survived. The way his lips move was very similar to what they did for Cad Bane, and they only do that, and that costs a lot. That's a lot of money compared to just regular makeup.
Right,
you have a team controlling all that kind of stuff. So
I hope he doesn't show up as a cameo. I don't need him in Mando.
No, neither do I. I don't see a lot of cameos happening this season. We all think Sabine is a possibility, and Boba, whether you consider him a cameo or not, but. I don't see that being the course for the season.
Isn't Cad Bane
dead? I wouldn't consider Boba Fett. Yes, Cad Bane
allegedly.
Is dead.
Yeah, right.
What do you mean allegedly? He's kind of dead. Stabbed him with his Tusken Raider stick.
Yeah, well, Darth Maul got
stabbed
him
in the heart.
So.
Yeah, but Darth Maul wasn't stabbed in the heart.
Well, how many hearts does a what are they called? What's the name of the alien species?
Oh my god, I can't believe I'm forgetting this.
The blue thing.
The Duros?
Doesn't it start with a D?
Duros.
Yeah.
Maybe they have
like a
four-chambered heart or something, who knows.
Oh, wait, really?
I don't know. I'm just who
knows? Well, Thorian had like two stomachs or something. Or no. What was
Yeah.
If he didn't have
right.
A four-chamber heart before, he will now when he comes back alive.
Right, exactly.
right.
Maybe he'll hijack the show and he'll turn it into the Cad Bane show.
Now, as much as I love Cad Bane, I really don't need. I only need glimpses of him. Clone Wars was great. Book of Boba Fett was great, but we got to stick to the storyline. I think the main two is Mando and Grogu.
And don't forget Bo-Katan.
Yes, she's also an integral part.
And Kyle, to bounce really quick, to bounce off what you said earlier, like, you know, she's all sad and depressed and stuff, but part of me thinks it's an act. Like, part of me thinks, like, she's sending him to Mandalore, like, purposefully, and, like, she's gonna show up with some grand scheme, maybe not as, like, a villain, but, like, you know, she seems all down and out, just sitting on her throne, like, oh, woe is me, my people left me, yada, yada, yada. But, like, I don't know, I don't see that being her story. Like, I feel like she's setting it up for something. I'm not sure
if you agree or not. Well, and I think I remember in the trailers, it looked like there's a scene where she's actually possibly there with him. Like the scene where she talks to Grogu and says, did you think your dad was the only Mandalorian?
Was the only Mandalorian. Yeah, yep, exactly.
Like, I mean,
she's definitely going to team up at some point. Yeah, I'm just really excited to see where this is going to go, you know?
Can't wait.
I know. I think that'll about wrap it up for tonight's episode of Jabba Jabber, recapping the season 3 premiere of The Mandalorian. We're going to keep these episodes coming. Hopefully every week we're going to play it by ear and see what happens. But our intention right now is to do it every week for, you know, our discussions, our thoughts, our jabbering about these episodes. Does anyone else have any quick things to add before we wrap it up?
Yes, don't forget to follow us on social media.
Thank you, Dennis, because I always forget.
Instagram, Facebook, look us up at Jawa Jabber or Jabbering Jawas. You'll be able to find us. If you want to send us any emails, if you want to be on the show, you can send it to jabberingjawas@gmail.com, and we'll read it on the air.
That's right. I had our first fan comment to say today, but we're going to have to do that for the next episode. Sorry. We're going to have to do that for the next episode. All right. If that's everyone's thoughts, I am David Wren for Dennis the Phantom Menace, Kynobi, and Matt the Radar Technician. Thank you very much for listening. You guys have a great night, and may the Force be with you always.
This is the way.
This is the way.